Stand on your feet for a moment. Let's appreciate the ministers of grace again this morning. Just give God praise this morning. Exalt Him. Tell Him from the depth of your heart how much you love Him. Tell Him that you are tuned to Him even now. Ascribe greatness to the Lord, the God. His word is perfect, and all His ways are just. Ascribe greatness to the Lord our God. His word is perfect, and all His ways are just. Our God of faithfulness, without injustice, good and upright is He. Thank you, because once again you speak to us, Claire, and speak to our specific situations. Thank you because you will give us that rhema word that would mean something to us individually, mean something to us as a church, mean something to us that are here now, mean something to us even in the future. Thank you because your words are full of living power. And there's no way we'll stay the same after an encounter with your word. We give you the praise. We give you the glory. We exalt you this morning. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, King of Glory, for filling this place. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Go to Matthew chapter 6 this morning. Matthew the 6th chapter. And we are now, running towards the end of the month. It's going to be exciting times for us. We have our anniversary service next weekend. I hope you are ready. Amen. How many people have invited? 5 people here. Five people. No hand went up. How many have invited 4 people? I'm behaving like Abraham now. Four. You have invited 4. Only 1 person. Okay. How many people have invited? 3 people. 3. Okay, 1 more hand has joined. Another hand there. Okay, 2. I won't count 1. Because I expect you to invite at least 2 people. Is that doable? That's possible. Okay, so at least 2 people. And if you do more, the Bible says that the feet of those who share the gospel indeed is blessed. Can I have an amen? And those who, it says the person that wins souls is wise. Can I have another amen? Hallelujah. So we'll have a wonderful time. Saturday evening, of course, our seminar, family seminar. And Sunday, our banquet service, where we just celebrate God's goodness and mercy towards us. And honestly, I think God is doing wonderful things. One of the things, I'm doing this morning is doctrinal, because I'm going to be talking about why we fast. Why we fast. One of the things we do as a church is that we have made up our minds to stick with the Bible. We start in the Bible. We stay in the Bible. we finish in the Bible. Can I have an amen? And we stick with the doctrine, okay? So we're not doing, we don't do just a lot of telling you how to get this or get that. We do some of that. Can I have an amen? Which is Bible application. But we try to ensure that you understand the doctrines. You know, we're reading Hebrews 6, verse 1 earlier, and it talks about the elementary principles. That's one translation. Another one says the foundational principles, okay? Meaning that there are certain things that are foundational that every believer needs to know. That's something about a foundation. It means you build on top of it. And if you don't know certain things as foundational principles of Christ, then you will have issues sooner or later. You know, so I always tell the story that sometime, you know, when I was in the university, there was a young man, very lovely young man, godly young man. And one day, the devil just started attacking him that he wasn't saved. I mean, it was a real issue, very serious matter. For you to just wake up and you just accept that you are not going to heaven, you are not born again. Have you sinned? He had not done anything. But the devil was just convincing him he wasn't saved. So it was a doctrinal matter. It was an understanding matter. What do you know of the scriptures? You know, thank God he overcame it. But that's what I'm saying, that sometimes people go in a walk with God. We go along with everybody. This is what everybody is doing. This is the trend. It's fashionable to be born again. But we don't have the understanding. So for instance, now we're singing the song that is trending. I've decided to follow Jesus. You know, and you can, I'm sure you followed the debates around it, how some people have criticized it and all of that. And one of the criticisms they have is that they said, look, this is not a song for Ipopore, Abi, for Takat Sufi, as it were. They said this is a song that was born out of people who were martyred. You know, these are people that gave their lives for the gospel, and one of them then had the inspiration of a song, and that's what you are just turning into Takasufe and dancing. That do we really understand the depth of it? Of course, I believe you can dance and celebrate. Can I have an amen? But you can also have an understanding at the same time. Can I have another amen? Hallelujah. So we're preparing where things are coming down towards the end of the year. By power convention also, I hope you have made up your mind very quickly where we're going. We have two very unique speakers this year at the power convention, but I will encourage you to be there. You know, one, the visionary. Find out if you don't know, then you'll have to know. You know the visionary. Okay, so hopefully he'll be there opening up on day one, hallelujah. Then we have Reverend Isaac Omoleyi, you know, also, so along the line. So we have, but then, before we close with power convention, we'll be praying and fasting. I didn't hear the whoo! Hallelujah. But we have to know what it is, and we have to know what we're doing, okay? Sadly, I can tell you, after about 3 decades of ministry, I can tell you that I know many believers don't know what they are doing. I know many believers are quite illiterate about the gospel. I know many people are simply religious, which is we just do the things because we're meant to do them. But the problem with that is that when you don't know why it's supposed to be so, you don't benefit maximally from the purpose of that thing. Philemon chapter 1 and verse 6, it's only one chapter anyway, the book of Philemon verse 6, it said that the communication of your faith might become effectual through your acknowledgement of the good things that are yours in Christ Jesus. The word acknowledgement there means the realization or coming to the full knowledge of that thing. Okay, so the communication of your faith only becomes effective. You only maximize it when you have full knowledge, full realization of what it is that you have in Christ Jesus. If you don't really know it, but you just do it, even if you benefit, it will not be maximal. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So that's why we need to know certain things. And that's why this morning I'm talking about why we fast. With our online diaspora fellowship, I was talking about why we pray. And if God permits, maybe I'll repeat that also with us as we prepare towards the end of the year. But today we're dealing with why we fast. You know, why do we do what we do? Matthew chapter 6, are you there? From verse 16, the Bible says, moreover, when you fast, do not be like the hypocrites with a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear to men to be fasting. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward already. Verse 17, but when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, so that you do not appear to men to be fasting, but to your Father who is in a secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. Let me also first say as a matter of introduction that fasting is a uniquely spiritual activity. Why do I say that? Virtually all faiths fast, whether it's Islam, whether it's Judaism, whether it is Hinduism, whatever it is, every faith, virtually every faith, people fast. And that would tell you that there's something to it, but it's not natural. There's something to it that is quite spiritual. It's a spiritual exercise in so much that it made its way into every facet or every religion that has been, virtually every religion that has been on the surface of the earth, the people fast. So there's something there that we need to investigate. Are you hear what I'm saying? Even if it's a fake, it means that there's an original. Okay? And if Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, then this is the original. It means that this is the reason why everybody else fasts, is because God has stipulated that we fast as a spiritual exercise. And God will tell you to engage in certain things, not just for doing it, but because those things have benefits that he's trying to get across to us. You know, in Acts 27, Paul was on a journey. He had been taken as a prisoner, and he was being taken on a ship, you know, to Rome. And as we were about to set out, Paul told them, he said, look, I perceive, gentlemen, I perceive, because I'm not an expert. I don't know about how to read the disguise or anything. Neither am I a sailor. He said, but I perceive that this journey will be very perilous for us. I perceive that there's danger ahead on this journey. You know, but they dismissed Paul because they listened to the expert sailors and they got on the journey. And when they got on the journey, a great storm arose and they were caught in that storm. And for many days they were in the storm and they thought they were going to sink. And the Bible says that in Acts chapter 27, I believe verse 21, it said that after many days of abstinence from food, Paul came and stood with them and said, gentlemen, now you can come down. They have stood with me this night, an angel of the Lord whom I serve. But the point is, all of them got into fasting. They were not Christians. They were not, like Paul, but everybody was fasting for some reason or the other. Everybody was fasting for safety to whatever God they served, as it were. So this is a common practice. This is something that they all do, that everybody does. And in the text that we just read, Jesus laid down a foundation for three particular, what would you call them now? Spiritual activities. One of the excuses for some people who claim and say that we don't need to fast, one of the things that people say, this morning we're dealing with eternal salvation, for those who missed it in Bible school, you missed. Okay, but one of the things, the things people come up with also, is to say you don't need to fast. They say because when you read all the letters of Paul, I was explaining this morning, that much of what you read in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is Old Testament, or if you wish, you can call it a transition period between the Old and the New Testament. Okay, but they say, look, when we got into the New Testament proper, and we begin to read about the doctrines and the teachings of the New Testament, meaning that you begin to read the letters written by Paul to the Romans from thereon, and you begin to read the things he wrote in Corinthians, the things he wrote in Ephesians, the things he wrote in Galatians. He said, look, Paul wrote about many things, but he didn't write about fasting. He said, so it must mean that we're not supposed to fast. But the text that we read this morning, Jesus was laying down a foundation, and he said, when you fast, can I hear you say, when you fast? Meaning, it's going to happen. Or meaning, it's supposed to happen. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Meaning that it's something that he is not guessing about. He's not saying, if you fast. He's saying, when you do it. So, I fully expect you to fast. Does that make any sense to you? I fully expect that you are going to fast, and when you fast, this is what I'm laying down for you to do. I'm saying to you that the fasting is not about the outward show. So one of the things that I shrink about a little bit is when we advertise certain things as the body of Christ. So our advertisement about 21 days of fasting, for instance, and prayer is for us. Are you getting what I'm saying? Our publicity comes among us, so we put it on the WhatsApp group, but not on Facebook. Do you get my point? Are you awake? Okay. So our advertisement is on our WhatsApp group in order to tell everybody who is a member of the church, who is linked to the church, to say, hey, we are doing something called corporate fasting in this period, but we are not going to be publicizing that to everybody out there. So that when they see you, they'll say, Eko ngbe o. I mean, Eko ngbe o, 21 days, Eko ngbe o. Yes, we are doing it. I saw one clip one day, and they were showing this man who was the GO of a church. And then they would put it there on the Facebook. They said the GO just coming out of his 100-day fast. 100-day fast, you know, I think. Is it 100 days or 40 days fast? Full fast. And then the people gathered. The GO came. They brought him in the car. And then the strong men of the church gathered. And they went to meet the car. And they were carrying the GO because he could not walk. And they carried him. And the GO was like this. And they said, the GO coming out of his 100-day fast. And then they put him flat on the altar because he couldn't sit. He couldn't stand. And then the GO, they hold the mic to him. He said, praise the Lord. Jesus said, when you fast, you're not supposed to be making a public show of it. Are you with me, anybody? You see, there are some fundamentals that when you read in the Bible. So when we're reading Matthew chapter 6, for instance, like I said, Jesus laid down foundation for three things. He laid down foundation for praying. He laid down some foundation for fasting. He laid down some foundation for giving. Okay? And sometimes I see things and I'm saying to myself, do we read the same Bible? Are you there, anybody? Now, all these things I'm saying it for you. It's not for anybody. It's for you. I'm saying to myself, do we read the same Bible? Because if it says also about giving, and it says that when you give, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, it's not talking about you defacing the naira and crumpling it as tiny as you can and squeezing it into a tiny little ball so that nobody can see it, and then you drop it in. That's not what it's talking about. It's talking about intentions. Are you with me, anybody? He's talking about the state of your heart. What are you thinking about? But he's saying that the giving also cannot be a public show. He's saying prayer cannot be a public show. Fasting cannot be a public show. Giving cannot be a public show. And you know what I discovered? That the people who squeeze the money is because it's very small. You understand? When somebody wants to give 5,000 naira in cash, he doesn't squeeze it. Yeah, when they bring it, he straightens it even out. I mean, isn't it? When they now they want to give it, they give it so you can see that it's significant money. But it's the person who wants to draw 50 naira or 100 naira is the one that will be squeezing it and squeezing. And say, why is he squeezing? He says, because he says, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. It's a lie. That's not why you're doing it. Are you with me? But all of the free things, Jesus said, is not about the public show. It means that there's also something very internal about these three things that we're talking about. There's something about these things and their connection to your heart. There's something about these three things. When I say your heart now, I'm using it very fluidly, meaning your soul, if you want to be very technical. There's something very fluid, something very strong about the connection of fasting to your heart, about the connection of giving to your heart, about the connection of prayer to your heart. Are you there? That's why when you begin to read in the Bible, you'll find a phrase, for instance, that talks about humbling your soul with fasting. The psalmist, go to Psalm 35. Psalm 35. Are you here? There's power in prayer and fasting. Can I have an amen? One of the best books, and I'll just recommend that on the side, that I've read that inspired me, blessed me, was a book called exactly that, The Power of Prayer and Fasting by Mahesh Chavda. If you can find it, buy it. I recommend it. you know, and it's one of the best I've ever read on that, but had a combination of just going doctrinally and application, you know, how it helps and all of that, and how it blesses you. Psalm 35, verse 13, he said, but as for me, when they were sick, this is the psalmist talking about, you know, the enemy says, when they were sick, my clothing was sackcloth, I humbled myself with fasting. So there's something about it that humbles you. It talks about the same thing in Joel chapter 2 and verse 12. He said, I humbled my soul with fasting. Now, if we go technical, the soul is the seat. And I keep saying that again and again. The soul is the seat of your emotions, is the seat of your intellect, is the seat of your memory. And what this is saying here, when it begins to talk about I humbled my soul with fasting, is that I'm able to bring it down, or I'm able to bring it under control. I'm able to subject it to control with fasting. That's the commonest reason that most people fast. And I'm saying most people, not even just Christians. So for instance, when they have the Muslim fast, they'll talk about the fact that in those 30 days, you can't do all the things you used to do. And you can't drink, and you can't smoke, and you can't womanize. And I keep thinking to myself every time I hear that, so what happens after 30 days? Back to square one. Back to square one. So you can now go back to it, and in 30 days you can, you know, behave yourself. But my point is this, is that the fasting is supposed to subject your soul such that your mind is on God and the things of God. It brings down all of your affections. It brings down all of your memories. It brings down all of your emotion. It just humbles your soul such that you can now fix your attention on God and God alone. Are you with me? I said, are you still there? But the key thing from our text this morning that I'm lifting off is that Jesus was talking about rewards. He was talking about rewards. And that means that if I'm going to do something, I need to know that there are rewards for them. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 58, he said we should press into God knowing that our service to God is never in vain. Hebrews 11 and verse 6, it talks about he that must come to God must know that he really exists and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So I must know that there's something to be gotten. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You see, what we are losing now, and I believe you find that in the book of Acts, what we're losing now is that people are following God without a clear purpose. In Acts chapter 11, I believe that was in Antioch, they sent Paul and Barnabas to Antioch when a revival was broken out. And the Bible says that they encouraged the people, I think verse 15, that with purpose of heart, they should seek the Lord. That is that they should seek the Lord having a purpose. There's a reason why I'm seeking God. There's a reason why I'm following God. There's a reason why I'm a believer. Don't just do it casually, but keep the purpose in mind. Be clear about what it does. It's the same that applies to every doctrine, every spiritual activity, is that you must bear in mind that there's a purpose. And Jesus was speaking in Matthew chapter 6. He said there are rewards for it. There are things that happen. There are things you benefit. One of the other things I see in Matthew chapter 6 is that he was talking about, and he said that when you go out, don't keep a long face. He said, rather anoint yourself, you know, use your, you know, the word that came to my mind was pomade. Pomade, that's the old people, we know pomade. Young people don't talk of pomade. I mean, you know pomade. That's your cream, basically. You know, we talk with it, they used to call it pomade. So use your pomade, you use all of your makeup, you use everything. He said it has nothing to do with that. But the way he said, so that when people see you, they will not know. But what that suggests to me is that for me to fast effectively, I don't have to be secluded away somewhere. Are you following what I'm saying? It doesn't mean that I have to take a leave and stay off work. We know in Luke chapter 4 that Jesus was up in the mountain and fasting, but we don't always have the privilege of being away, and you don't have to. Can I have an amen? You don't have to go hide on a mountain because you are fasting. But he said, as you are out and about and you are fasting, Matthew chapter 6, he said, your Father who sees He said in verse 17, but you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face so that you do not appear to men to be fasting. He said, but your Father who is in a secret place and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. Meaning that I can do it and I'm going about my business. It's still as effective. Can I have an amen? It still does something. Even though I'm at work and all of that, the fact that I've decided I'm fasting today, there's still a reward for it. Hallelujah. You know what it also suggests? I'm not getting into so much of that because time is already running. It also suggests that God doesn't intend for me to necessarily become dysfunctional or useless because I'm fasting. That is, I can't do anything. I'm fasting and I'm so weak. So I go to work. I just put my head down on the table. And I say, because I'm fasting. You know, God doesn't expect that I have to do it that way. It means I probably can take a sip of a drink because I'm feeling faint. And yet I'm at work. You're quiet now. Huh? I met people before who were fasting because they had to take a sip. They say, today's fast is lost. Today's fast is gone. I will try again tomorrow. You know, today's one, I've thrown it in the dustbin. I say, why? I say, because I took Fanta. I took Fanta when I was feeling faint at 1 p.m. So I will start my own again tomorrow. So instead of 21, I am now doing 20 days of power. Are you following me? It's a state of the heart first and foremost. Are you still there? One of the very common scriptures that you find, first Isaiah 58, that people will talk about when you're talking about fasting. Open your Bibles to Isaiah 58. And then we'll now quickly go to why we fast. And basically, I'll be talking about rewards of fasting. And if I don't finish, I'll continue next week. So don't worry. I'm not preaching an everlasting sermon this morning. Isaiah 58. Okay, are you there? Let's read from verse 5. He said, is it a fast that I've chosen, a day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head like a bulrush and to spread out sackcloth and ashes? Would you call this a fast? And an acceptable day to the Lord? Is this not the fast that I've chosen? To loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry, and that you leave your house, or you bring to your house the poor who are cast out? When you see the naked, that you cover him, and not hide yourself from your own flesh. Then your light shall break forth like the morning. Your healing shall spring forth speedily, and your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry, and he will say, here I am. If you take away the yoke from your midst, the pointing of the finger and speaking wickedness. Now, one of the key things to first note in this scripture is that God was saying your spirituality, which in this instance is your fasting, will not produce results by itself. You know, your spirituality is separate from your outward walk. As a Christian, will not walk by itself. Meaning that the fact that you live anyhow, you are unkind, you are harsh, you are this, you are that, but you say, oh, but I fast. God is saying you can't separate them. Are you hearing what I'm saying? He's saying you can't separate them. That your spirituality ought to translate to who you are in reality. Can I have an amen? I was having a long discussion with somebody last night over that, and I was saying, he keeps thinking that perhaps in this country will be like 100 million Christians. He said, but there's no commensurate impact in the society for 100 million Christians and the number of churches that we have. And we're talking about that, and I was saying, yeah, it's because for many of us, we separate our spirituality from our day-to-day life. So when we want to be spiritual, we get very spiritual. We want to fast, we fast very well. But Somebody will cross our path, the same person who is fasting very well, we curse that person. But he's fasting. But he doesn't see that there's something wrong in that display. Are you following what I'm saying? I mean, James was talking about it. He said, from the same mouth comes cursing and blessing. It ought not to be so. You can't have the clean spring and the dirty spring from the same river. He said it ought not to be so. You can't be producing the two at the same time. So that's what he was writing about here. That's what God was saying to them here, saying that spirituality of fasting by itself will not bring the answers, meaning that there are people who have fasted and fasted and fasted about an issue, but what they need to do is do what is expected of a Christian in that matter. Are you hearing what I'm saying? There's a lady who had called, who went for a Kennedy meeting. Went for a healing. And when she went for a healing, usually Kennedy will tell you that he will encourage you not to come out on the healing line on the first day, but that you should stay a little bit and listen to the teachings. You know, if you are there throughout and they're having a 1 week meeting, he will say at least wait for 3 to 5 days. Just listen to the teachings first before you come out. Let your faith be built. And this lady came and decided she wasn't going out on the healing line on the first night. He said, I'm going to listen to the teachings first. And she was listening and listening. And one of the days, God convicted her that she had not been speaking to her brother for years, her blood brother. And they were fighting over some matter. For years, they were not on talking terms. And God convicted her. She was thinking, that evening, I'm going to go to the healing line. But in the afternoon break, she was home. And she was thinking, I believe God wants me to call him. So she picked up her phone and she looked for the guy's number in the yellow book. You know, yellow book. Phone directory. Our times have changed. You know, so she looked for this guy's number, found the number, and called him. And the brother picked up the phone. I was like, oh, I'm so happy to hear from you. I was going to call you. I said, oh, why did you want to call me? She said, no, you called me. Why did you call me? And the lady said, well, I called you because I wanted to apologize to you. I'm wrong and I'm very sorry about the matter. And the guy said, that's why I wanted to call you. I'm wrong. I'm very sorry. And they made up. You know, and then the lady slept. You know, that let me take a nap before I go for the evening service. And when she woke up, she discovered she was healed. She didn't need the laying on of hands anymore. Are you following me this morning? So we think that the spiritual things can be divorced from the natural things, but they work hand in hand. I think I told the story before of another person who was on the healing line, and the man of God laid hands on this person and said, what is it about $5,000 that keeps coming to my mind? As I'm praying for you, why am I having this sense of $5,000? And the man said, oh, it's because my brother and I were in business together. He said, I know what you're talking about. He said, we were in business together, but my brother died. He said, and the wife decided she was not interested in dealing with the business anymore and that we should sell the business. He said, so I sold the business and we agreed to share it, to share the money. Of course, you'll take my brother's share. He said, but I thought to myself that I am the one who is doing so much, of the work. And she's just there. I'm the one marketing it and selling it. So I decided to keep $5,000 more for myself. And the man said, you'll have to give her the $5,000. And he said, I'm going to give her the $5,000 and was healed. You can't separate the two. Are you hearing me? But hear this. When we do right, when we live right to the best of our ability and we fast, the Bible says in verse 8 of Isaiah 58 that we're reading, it said, then your light shall break forth like the morning. Your light shall break forth like the morning. You know, the breaking forth like the morning is like everything that's holding you back. You know, when the light begins to break forth like the morning, it's like it penetrates through the darkness. And light just begins to push the darkness away. He said, your light shall break forth like the morning. So things that have been holding you back can break and fall away all of a sudden. Years ago, we were having the 21 days of power. And I still remember that testimony. And somebody said, he said he had been jobless for months. But he just told himself, these 21 days, I'm going to be serious about it. I'm going to wait on God.
And by the time we were done, he said he had 3 jobs. And he now had to again pray to know which one, 3 offers, to know which one he's supposed to pursue. Your light shall break forth like the morning. Are you with me? He said, your healing shall spring forth speedily. So sometimes also you've been on something, you know, on something. You are dealing with it, some illness, some disease and all of that. He says, when you fast, that's a benefit. You know, in the natural, it's been discovered that when you fast, it has a natural healing dimension to the human body. That's why we do what? You know, every night you're supposed to be fasting. Are we? Because you go for longer without food. So in the morning, you break your fast. Isn't it? And then some have studied it and said, if you'll at least make that a 12-hour fast, that is, don't eat for 12 hours from the night till the morning, they said that in itself has healing properties. I'm just talking in the natural now. Are you with me? I know for some people it's just a 3-hour fast overnight. You know, because they will eat dinner, they go to bed, then they wake up. When they wake up, maybe to go and wee, they will still end up in the fridge. If it's you, just keep looking down, and nobody will know. Are you there? But there is a healing dimension. There are times also that you are trusting God. You want to come for the school of miracles. You are believing God for something. Take that day and fast. Take that day and fast and just trust God that, God, this matter, I'm going to be healed. Are you with me? He said, your righteousness shall go before you. Your righteousness. You know, I read these scriptures when I fast, and I fast quite regularly. I read these scriptures and I say to myself, my righteousness goes before me. Sin shall not have dominion over me. That's Romans chapter 6. Sin shall not have dominion over me. I have power over sin. And in the place of fasting, I reinforce that dominion. Hallelujah. You know, we stumble a lot because we don't do some of the things that the Bible asks us to do. Remember 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 8? It said, bodily exercise profits a little. Are you with me? But spiritual exercise has the benefits or what you call godliness. That's why I call it spiritual exercise. Because if it says bodily exercise, and then it says, but godliness is profitable unto all things. Being like God, operating like God, living the way God wants us to live. He said, it is profitable unto all things. Having the benefit of the life that now is and the life that is to come. Meaning that if I engage in the spiritual exercises, I become a victorious person in this life. Victorious over sin, victorious over sickness. Can I have an amen? He said, and your righteousness shall go before you, and the glory of the Lord. We don't have time to start going into the glory of the Lord. But I love those scriptures. Every time I'm waiting on God, every time I'm fasting, these are scriptures I stay on. And I'm believing God. These are the rewards of fasting. These are my rewards. Can I have an amen? These are my rewards. These are the things that are happening. Then you shall call and the Lord shall answer. Meaning speedy answers to prayers. Now, fasting is not, and I hope we get that, fasting is not a threat to God to make God move. Okay? It's not a threat to God. I think you should have gotten that from where we started from, which is that it is a function of the heart. It's doing something to you, not to God. God is not dull of hearing. Isaiah tells us that clearly, 59 verse 1. He said he's not dull of hearing, and his hand is not shortened. So there's no problem on the God side. Everything we're doing, all of the spiritual exercise, is to fix me. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And when I get into the rewards, I'm going to talk about 4 rewards, but maybe not today. You know, when I talk about the 4 rewards that I want to talk about, you see, it fixes me. So it's not to do something to God. It's not, you know, it's very interesting when you take a prisoner and you lock him up. And then they say, the man is protesting. and he's on a hunger fast, or a hunger strike. He says he's on a hunger strike. He has refused to eat, and everybody is panicking. Abi, you should think to yourself, if he doesn't eat, you go. One, he will save the government money. Are you with me? Two, if he dies, he has solved the problem. Because we thought you were a problem, that's why we locked you up. Now you have solved the problem permanently. And three, thankfully we didn't kill you. You killed yourself. Isn't that what it is? But the laws don't allow those things. So when somebody goes on a hunger strike and he becomes very weak, very weak, very weak, they will take him to the hospital and they will force feed him more or less. They will put tubes in and be pumping food inside of him because the government is thinking, no, he's not allowed to die. We can't allow him to die this way. We must keep him alive and all of that, because if he dies that way, it's an indictment on the government. Now, that's the way many people see fasting with God. That God, I will just die on your neck. And everybody will fight you. Everybody will blame you. Everybody will insult you. I will die on your neck. If you don't do it now, I will just die on your neck. That is not the case. Can I have an amen? Everything God is going to do, he has done. Everything about his willingness is settled also. Daniel 11:32. They that know their God shall be strong and do exploits. The Bible talks about the eyes of the Lord running to and fro the whole earth so that he may show himself strong. Show himself strong on behalf of those who love him, who fear him, who serve him. So, meaning that God is more willing than you are to move on your behalf. So, if he's not moving, it's not a problem on the God side. Can I have an amen? Romans 8:32 also assures us. He said, if he did not withhold his only begotten son, which is the most precious thing he can keep back from you, how will he not with him freely give us all things? Meaning that God has demonstrated his willingness more than enough, his capacity more than enough. So if there's a problem, it's not on the God side. And fasting is not about God, it's about me. And making sure that I am positioned correctly where the things of God is concerned, where the word of God is concerned, where the promise of God is concerned, where the power of God is concerned. Are you with me? So we will have to, let's go back to Matthew chapter 6 and try to wrap it up there. Matthew chapter 6. And then we'll come back to the rewards next time. Matthew chapter 6. Said, moreover, when you fast, can I hear you say, when you fast? Please look at your neighbor and say, you are expected to. Let me also say that you are expected to, not only during 21 days of fasting. So it's supposed to be something that you do. It's something that you pull yourself aside periodically and say, look, I need to fast. I need to abstain from food a little bit because I want to focus on God. I want to spend time with God. I want to leave out food. I want to humble my soul with fasting and pay attention to God. At times, it will be just you as a spiritual discipline, spiritual exercise. Sometimes it will be God inspiring you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Sometimes you just have it on your heart. As if it looks like God wants me to fast. I remember one of the stories Pastor Adeboye told. He said he had arrived in his hometown and they had prepared this solid pounded yam with correct soup. He said as he was getting ready, there's an anticipation that you even have at certain times for food. You know, and the pounded yam and things that they make in the village is different from the one in the city. When I was young, you know, my dad said, oh, he was sending his driver to Owo, to his friend, you know, go and deliver a message and all of that. And he asked me if I would like to go. And I thought, well, I've never been there before. Why not? You know, and so I jumped in the car with him and we went. And we got there. The man was very nice, very receptive. He had a sawmill. And, you know, we delivered the message. And the man said, oh, don't go, just wait. They will bring lunch for you now. And I wasn't used to eating out. You know, I wasn't used to it at all. So I just stayed there and I thought. So when they brought the food, I was still doing Casco, you know. And I called, they brought the food. And he said, you know, I said, we are doing, let's eat. I said, no, I'm not eating. Because I was still, I don't eat. No, maybe on the way, if you find fast food or something you buy, you know. And he said, no, eat. I said, no. He said, okay, just taste. So I tasted it, and I didn't stop. And it tasted very different. I ate that thing until the mountain became a valley. So it's different. So Pastor David said, he sat down, and he brought this pounded yam. He said, as they brought it, God said to him, I want you to fast. Ah, he said, he thought about it, fast. Hey, fast. He said, then he told them, he said, no, sorry, I'm not eating. He said, shortly after, somebody came, and there was an emergency, and they came to call him. And he prayed, you know, for virtue, I don't remember the exact emergency now, and God moved, and that person was raised. He said, and God told him, if you had not done what I said, I would have found it difficult to use you now. So there are times you'll be inspired. That's why I said that. There are times you'll be inspired to and go with it because God is preparing you for something. Luke chapter 4 started with the fact that the Bible says Jesus was led into the wilderness to be tempted. So the leading was God, but God led him in there and led him into a fast. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Because there was a purpose at the end of it all. So there are times that you'll be inspired. Do so. There are times it's corporate fasting like we've been talking about. You do so as well. And there are times it's just you. So when I tell you I fast regularly, for instance, it's on a clock. So there are days I just fast. I just fast because I'm saying to myself, I want to put my mind on God. I want to put my mind on God. And the Bible says what? He that puts, Romans chapter 8, it talks about the fact that he that walks in the Spirit puts his mind on the things of the Spirit. Meaning that the ability to walk in the Spirit, to walk under the control of the Holy Ghost and all of that, is based on your ability to put your mind on the things of the Spirit. And fasting helps to do that. Are you hearing me? So Matthew 6 says, when you fast, do not be like hypocrites with a sad countenance. For they disfigure their faces that they may appear to men to be fasting. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. So this is about rewards. He's saying if it's just an outward show, then that's the reward you get. The applause of men. The appreciation of men. The respect of men. The esteem of men. That's all you get. He said, but when you fast, act like you are not. When you fast, act and look like you are not. Dress the best you can. It says, so that you do not appear, verse 18, to men to be fasting, but your Father who is in the secret place and who sees in secret will reward you openly. Let me close on this note, which is that there are things you see in the open, but the people that enjoy those things in the open is because they paid a price in the secret. Did you get what I said? Did you hear me? There are things that you see happening with certain people, and the price is not in the open. The price is what they do when you can't see them. The price are the things you do that you don't see. Occasionally, so one of the reasons, as I close, one of the reasons I like to read biographies, for instance, is because the secret of men is in their stories. So when they write their stories, when they preach and they're telling you something about themselves, you hear the secret. You hear the person will say something. That's not his. He's trying to make a point, but he's going to say something. But that thing that he says, I'm like, I get it. So that's what he does. So that's why he's who he is. So that's what makes him who he is. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So when I was growing up as a believer, I went to church. I went to fellowship, full gospel businessmen fellowship. Thank God for them. I heard all kinds of people. And I heard people talking about the fact that they woke up and they prayed very early in the morning. So I said, aha, that's a secret there. So I told myself, I have to discipline myself. to wake up to pray. I can't sleep through the night. I have to wake up and pray. So I had to start doing it. I listen to people like Mike Murdoch, who said, I read 40 chapters of the Bible a day. I say, no wonder when he's talking, it's just like the Bible is just speaking. Yeah, I mean, Bishop Oyedepo said he sat with him in his hotel room, and the man was talking to him. He said it sounded like the Bible sat down in front of him. The Bible took on human flesh and was speaking. Why not? The man said, I read 40 chapters a day. Are you following what I'm saying? I listened to Kenneth Copeland. He said, look, when I started up in my walk with God, he said I was studying the Bible 14 hours a day. The secret of men, the secrets are in their stories. They will say it in passing. They are making a point. They are telling a story. But I say, aha, that's what works. Are you hearing me? I know my pastor fasts, I think, twice a week. So you hear them. He has not made it a thing. It's not a law. It's not a doctrine. He doesn't teach it to anybody and say, you must do this. But he has said it before. So I say, aha, I know what works for this man. Are you hearing me? So the things that people are in the open and the rewards they get in the open is because of the price they paid in secret. If you will have open rewards, you must be willing to pay a price secretly. Hallelujah. Let's stand on our feet. Morning, I'm going to pray for everybody with an eye issue. I'm going to pray for eyes this morning. Sometimes God deals with me that way. I remember some day, I don't remember which service it was in Ibadan, and God said, pray for pain. And I thought, no, I pray for sickness. Pray for pain. You know, I think the last time I was there, God said, pray for fingers. As I was praying in the morning, He said, pray, finger. And I thought, finger. You know. But when I called for fingers, there were three people. After the service, I prayed before I preached. After the service, when I called for sickness, there was nobody. So all the people who were sick had issues with their fingers. God sees and God knows. And we follow His direction. Are you with me? We follow His direction. When He says it, it's because there's something He wants to do now. Does that mean an instant issue? No. It just means He's doing something now. There's something He wants to work on now. But, what if I don't say? It doesn't mean He didn't do something. Because he had a particular point where He said, pray for this now. It means that there's something He's fixing there now. Hallelujah. So everybody with an eye issue, I want you to come. Sometimes people also, I've met people who had wondered and said, you can pray for people without laying hands. I know. And I do that also. But I also lay hands because it's a special anointing, as Kennedy Gibb will call it. And that lies in the laying on of hands. Lies in the laying on of hands. Because that unction, He put it in my hand. Sometimes I pray for people without that, but sometimes I pray and I lay hands because that's what I'm operating by at that moment. Father, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Be glorified. Be glorified. Be glorified, say be glorified. Be glorified, be glorified. In the heavens, be glorified. In
for everybody out there. I'm just going to pray for you, lay hands on you. Please do so now. The Bible says you seek God while he may be found. While he may be found. That suggests that there's a time
that people might look for him and he won't be found by them. You need to make peace with God. Put your hand on your chest right where you are and talk to him. And say, Lord, here I am. Here I am. Whether you've never done it before, you're just doing it again and saying, Lord, I'm dedicating myself to you. I believe I need to do so. I believe in the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross for me. And I'm also sacrificing myself back in return and in appreciation that I will live for you. I will love you. I will serve you. I will do my utmost best to know you more and more. In Jesus' name. Father, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for speaking to us. Thank you because indeed those words grow and grow and grow in us. And they move us to doing the things we need to do and to doing them with purpose. Thank you for our rewards, for the spiritual godly exercises we engage in. Thank you also for confirming that word with signs and wonders, miracles, and diverse distributions of the Holy Ghost. Lord, we give you glory and praise. In Jesus' name.